Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Welcome to Real Nerds Podcast. We are the best movie podcast of all time, anywhere on any social media platform that deals with any topic. True crime podcast, they don't mean anything to Real Nerds Podcast.
Yeah.
I'm Ryan. I am joined by Brad.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week we saw Abigail. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil the movie. We'll also talk about the movie news of the week and things we watched throughout the week. You like movies, you came to the right place. And if you don't like movies, sit back and listen to us how funny we are.
Yeah, we're going to make you like movies. We're going to convert you.
Yeah. Were you able to put in Corinne's thing from last week?
I was not.
I'm going to put them in right now so I don't forget.
Good idea.
Hey, nerds. Corinne here for another installment of Showtime, where I talk about something cool I've been watching lately. And since it's been several weeks since I've done one of these, I'm going to give you a rundown of just all the shows I've been watching lately. Some good, some bad, some kind of in the middle. But yeah, so I went home a couple weeks ago to Kansas to see my family and ended up watching Three Body Problem with my dad on Netflix, and it was, it started off pretty good, actually. Like, it built up a lot of good mystery, and, you know, of course, it's run by the same people who did Game of Thrones, so I was not surprised when the ending was, like, kind of dumb. I mean, I don't know if I'd watch a season two. They'll probably get a season two. I think it was, like, it got enough in as far as, like, ratings and stuff, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was kind of dumb now that I think about it. It's like, oh my gosh, like it just kind of kept going and going and going. And it was, you know, 8 hours or it's like 8 episodes and each was like an hour long. And my dad and I ended up like binge watching it all in like 2 days. So it was a lot. And I don't know. I think a weekly format might have been a little bit better. But anyway, so yeah, Three Body Problem. I mean, I guess watch it. If you're into like sci-fi stuff, it might be of interest to you. Some of the concepts are really cool, and I guess it's based on like a book series, but yeah. Oh well. So then I also somehow, I mean, I think I've talked about this before. I'm kind of a Star Trek fan. I would not say I'm like a big fan of the franchise, but, you know, I grew up watching The Next Generation. I grew up watching Voyager, some Deep Space Nine, some Enterprise, like right when it first started. But I haven't really watched any of the new stuff. But when I was home, my dad, he was watching Discovery. And so I ended up watching several episodes of Discovery with him, all out of order, by the way. So we ended up watching like the end of season one, and I didn't even see the beginning of season one. And then we ended up watching like the last two or three episodes of season two. I mean, it was good. I now feel compelled to watch the entirety of season one and the entirety of season two, even though I know all the like big twists and everything that's coming. But, you know, there were a couple of things in there that even though I wasn't super attached to these characters and didn't really know exactly what was going on, but there were some revelations in there that I was like, oh, what? I can't believe they did that. Like, oh, I had no idea. But yeah, it was pretty fun. And yeah, I like I said, I feel compelled to watch season one and season two now. My dad's like, season three and four, I guess, are not very good, but I don't know. Let's see what else. So all my regular shows that are on right now, The Bad Batch is still amazing. As of recording this, episode 13 is dropping tonight. I'm super excited for it. I think it's the last episode that we have trailer footage for. And oh my gosh, like we have three episodes left, like tonight's and then the next 2 weeks and then it's done. Series finale. Oh my gosh. I cannot believe that we're going to be saying goodbye to these characters potentially forever. I'm sure they'll show up again in something. Maybe they'll get like a comic spinoff or whatever, but, or they'll probably pop up. I'm like 80% sure that there's going to be another animated series that takes place after The Bad Batch, because one of the main characters has been like disappearing and going off and doing like his own thing to like help save these other clones. And so there's rumors that they might do like a clone rebellion show, which would be pretty cool. And if I got to see The Bad Batch characters pop up, I'd be okay with that. So yeah, Bad Batch is great. Ghost is still really good. There have been a couple of dud episodes in there, but for the most part, it's been a pretty good season. We've got three episodes left till the finale, season finale. So very excited. Let's see what else we got. Abbott Elementary. I haven't been as impressed with this short third season so far. I think part of it is because mild spoilers, I guess. The main character has been kind of off doing something else. And so she only occasionally comes into the school and interacts with her other, you know, former coworkers. And some of the drama that's come from that has been, I guess, not my thing, not my cup of tea. But we have gotten some cool character dynamics with her kind of off doing her own thing. And we kind of get a spotlight on some of the other characters and their interactions with each other when she's gone. So, I'd give it like a B minus so far. Like, I still really enjoy the show, but I haven't been nearly as excited for Abbott Elementary's new episodes as I have been for Ghost's new episodes. Yeah, right now I'd say I'd go Bad Batch, then Ghost, then Abbott Elementary right now. Of course, that can change. And now I have a new show in the mix because I am a big X-Men fan. I watched X-Men Evolution when it was on. I watched parts of the original X-Men, the animated series from the 90s a couple years ago. I didn't watch the whole thing. I think I watched like two or three seasons. It was a really good show and I liked it. And then now they have this X-Men 97 and I haven't been watching it because I was waiting for all the episodes to be out so I could like watch all of them through. And then I went over to Jerry's this weekend and he showed me all the episodes up until episode 5. So we watched like 1 through 5 and I was like, fuck, Jerry, now I'm hooked. I gotta watch the next episodes. And it sucks because they drop at the exact same time that the Bad Batch does. So now I'm like, well, shit. I'm already like staying up till 1 a.m. to watch the Bad Batch. Now I gotta stay up and watch like X-Men 97 right afterwards, because if you've seen the 5th episode of the season, you know what I'm talking about when I say I have to see what happens next, because that was just fucking insane. So now I'm hooked. I'm hooked on X-Men 97. I need to see what happens next. So I think there's maybe 3 episodes left. I want to say that it's got an 8 episode season, so don't have to wait too much more, but golly. Why does everything have to be ending at the same freaking time? It's like that early May time frame, like all of my shows are gonna have their season or series finales, and it's like, damn it. One final thing I'll touch on is, I don't think I've talked about this on the show before, but my friend Julie, she has 2 little girls and they love the show Bluey. And every time I go over to visit them, I end up watching at least a couple of episodes with them. It's a really cute show. I don't feel compelled to watch it without them until recently, when I heard that there was going to be a special episode, a 28-minute special of Bluey that was premiering this last, like, Saturday, Sunday, on Disney+. and it was going to, you know, brand new 28-minute episode. Like, all the episodes are like 7-8 minutes. Like, that's the beauty of it. It's targeted to preschoolers. Like, it's very much a preschooler show, but I mean, really anybody could watch it, parent, non-parent, adult, young adult, old adult, whatever. You know, it's such an adorable show. And I really think, like, this is a show that's honestly made more for parents to kind of teach them and encourage them how to be good parents than it is for kids. Like, it is definitely for kids. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's kind of equally made for parents, or at least with parents in mind. And even though I'm not a parent, I still really love how well the show is made. It's just so beautiful, you know, the artwork and all the different, you know, characters that you get to meet, and you get really attached to them. Like, there is this one episode toward the end of, I think, season 3 called Rusty. And I think I've seen it like 3 times and it makes me cry every single time. I'm like, frick, stop. Yeah, because I was over visiting them a couple weeks ago and they were like, let's watch Rusty. And I'm like, no, let's watch something else. Another one I haven't seen yet. But so I watched this new episode, this new 28-minute special. It's called The Sign. So if you've seen people on Twitter talking about it like I have, and going and flipping out and talking about like how much it made them cry, it's like, oh my gosh, it's totally valid. So I guess mild spoilers for Bluey's The Sign. But the premise is that the Healers, that's the family name, the Healers are going to be moving. And so they put a for sale sign in their yard. And Bluey does not want to move, but she kind of comes to accept, like, okay, you know, everything happens for a reason. Like, everything's going to work out. So, you know, I just have to accept, like, we're going to be moving and we're going to have new adventures. And then initially, her younger sister, Bingo, is, like, super excited. She's like, yeah, we're going to be selling our house. Woohoo! But then it hits her. Like, she didn't know what selling the house really meant. She thought they were selling the house, but they were just still live in it. She didn't realize they were going to, like, move. So then when she does figure it out, there's such adorable scene of her, you know, going outside, trying to lift the sign out by herself. And Bluey comes out and talks to her. And at this point, I, like, paused it, texted my friend Julie, and I was like, this is such a good episode. I'm, like, really excited, yada-da. And then, like, the ending hit, and I was like, fuck. Oh, my gosh. I was crying. I was like, ah, oh, damn it. What'd you do to me, Bluey? So I don't want to spoil it. You should watch it for yourself. It's elicited some very interesting conversations with, like, me and my friends and other folks online about, like, you know, what exactly is this teaching kids? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Like, it is, I think right now, like, the highest rated episode of Bluey on IMDb. It's like 9.9 or perfect 10 out of 10. So I encourage everybody, please, it sounds really stupid, but please go watch Bluey. It's so adorable. It's such a well-made show. I know several people who are not parents who watch this because they feel like it kind of heals their inner child, but it's also just, like, really cute, and it's really well made, and it has a lot of, like, good messages, and I mean, it makes me cry at least, but yeah, The Sign. So if you saw people talking about it online, that's what's going on. That's what's, you know, everybody got all emotional about The Sign. So yeah. I recommend Bluey. I recommend all the shows I watch, except, I guess, Three Body Problem. So, I actually haven't been watching a lot of anime lately, and the one anime I've watched that's, like, really stupid. All the ones I had been watching over, like, the winter are all done for the season, so, dang it. But, yeah, it's a good time to be an American TV fan, because, oh my gosh, we've got so much good stuff coming out right now. So yeah, between X-Men 97, Bad Batch, you know, Ghosts, and Abbott Elementary, like, there's plenty of great stuff on TV right now. So I highly recommend everybody check it out. All right, I'm gonna check off now. I'm sure the nerds are gonna be going to see The Fall Guy next weekend. I will be going to see something else, so I'll maybe check in with you guys about that next time. So until then, keep it real, nerds. Bye.
Oh, Corinne.
So that's what Corinne's been watching lately.
Yep. She was really disappointed that we didn't pick some anime that came out last week instead of Spider-Man from 2002.
What anime came out?
The one that she got mad at me for, because you're not supposed to say Spy X Family, but I don't understand why the X is there if you're not supposed to say it.
Godzilla X Kong. I mean, everyone's doing it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think she's responded to me why you don't say the X or how you're supposed to pronounce it. So I'm going to say it's X Family.
Sounds like a plan. I'm going to look it up, find out what this is all about, because it's just going to keep happening.
True. And also, hey, Brad, did you know that you're going to Wyoming this weekend?
I know. all by myself.
Yeah. So, I mean, you won't get the charisma of normal Real Nerds podcast, but Brad will be there. Are you handing out stickers and the buttons? Or are you saving the buttons for Fan Expo?
We have only 30 buttons, so I'm going to save those for Fan Expo since that's going to be the Pizza Hut. But, you know, we've got old merch and stickers that I can, hand out there. And I might do an interview if, you know, I feel like it. So it'll be a terrible interview because you won't be there. But, hey.
I know. Hey, you know what? I think it'll be all right. I have faith in you.
Wyoming, do me a favor and just visit the booth and take a sticker. Don't ask for an interview.
Well, Brad, this is how you relate to him. You said, did you see that movie? And did you also see that sheep out in the field? You know, relate to them that way.
It is I guess the con is at a mall. So it's Eastridge Mall. So that's kind of interesting. It's not like a convention center or a hotel. So
yeah.
Interesting.
You
setup.
Know, maybe you can just put, you'll be back in 15 minutes and go shopping or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that might be fun. see what kind of like, hopefully it's like an old, you know, 80s mall that has like a Sam Goody in it or something.
That'd be sweet. Yeah. You know, just leave a sign that says if you plan to shoplift, let us know.
Yep.
This week on Real Nerds, we saw Abigail. Brad, do you recommend Abigail?
I don't know if it's a must-see. It's fun, but it wasn't. I didn't have as much fun as Ready or Not. There wasn't a lot there for me, but yeah, it's a kind of like a watch and throwaway. For me.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun in this movie. It's the Radio Silence filmmaking crew definitely have a style of film, and they're really fun, and it's always good to go out and have fun watching a horror movie. Personal opinion, that's always makes it really fun for me. Here's the trailer for Abigail.
Please let me out. I'm scared.
Cut the shit. You're really good at pretending to be a little girl.
Thank you.
Quick question. Who's inside a cage right now?
What do we know about vampires? How do we kill it?
Crucifixes.
Stake through the heart.
Daylight is a big one.
We need to find a way out of here.
We split up.
This is just a game to her.
What can I say? I like playing with my family.
Hello?
Abigail stars Melissa Barrera, and she plays a woman whose code name is Joey, or alias, I guess is a better term for it. And she's part of a crew of people that kidnap a wealthy person's daughter. But when they kidnap her, it's more than they bargained for, Brad. She is a vampire.
What?
Yes. And so that's literally the premise of the movie. And so when I was watching it, I had a lot of fun watching it. But do you think that they could have sold this movie without revealing that she's the vampire?
It would have made it better, I think. Like, if you go into this movie just thinking that it's a heist thing, mm-hmm. then you find out that it's a vampire, like, I think that would have been fun. But going into it, there was, like, no real surprise for me because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I know they were, it was already, like, the premise or the synopsis on IMDb mentioned it, too. So I don't know. I don't know how you would sell it without it. I mean, I guess you wouldn't have to reveal that she's a vampire. You could just reveal that people are being hunted in the house, I guess.
I mean, you could edit the trailer to make you think that Giancarlo Esposito is maybe the vampire.
Yeah, that's actually a good call.
Yeah, like he's tricked all these people into his like house of horrors, and the twist would be like, oh, the little ballerina girl is the vampire. I mean, he eventually becomes a vampire, but the only surprising part was Dan Stevens' character kind of becomes the real villain by the end. But even the Matthew Good, like, they reveal like, oh, we're actually going to see your dad finally. I was just like, I didn't remember who that guy was.
Yeah, I guess he's, I don't even know who that actor is, but I guess he's really popular.
He's Ozymandias in Watchmen.
Right.
But yeah, he's well known, but not like hugely known, I guess.
He's like a character actor.
Yeah. So like that whole reveal just feels like you're waiting for like, oh, here's some like Marvel style cameo. And it's just like, oh, this guy that I've vaguely seen in a few movies.
Yeah, because they allude that he's Dracula. Who would be a good cameo to be Dracula?
Gary Oldman or something, I guess.
Ooh, that would be awesome.
That would be a crazy surprise, yeah. I don't know. Who else?
I mean, it was fun. I like the when she gets hit with sunlight and her arm blows up.
that was cool. The exploding effects like instantaneously, like it's not.
It
like,
reminded me of stings, at Ready like, or yeah, in Ready or Not when they all blow up at the end too.
Yeah.
I guess that's their thing is people blowing up in viscera. So
there were parts of this movie that felt like they copied and pasted the Ready or Not script over because. Stuff like that, like everyone bursts, like explodes at the end. But there's also the fact that like there are multiple times where you're like, if you just stay put, like you're in the room, you got the sunlight, nothing can harm you. Just wait it out.
The only thing is, they had the let's split up, and it was actually a line in the movie. But I still have lots of fun. I think Catherine Newton, she's one of my new favorite actresses. She's always pretty fun in films. And Kevin Durand, he was really good in it too.
Yeah. But like getting him killed was just so like, oh, we need to get them out of here so we can kill him. You know, it just felt so forced. Like there's just no reason. Yeah. And they should like Catherine Newton's turn, like they should have just locked her up. You know, that would have been the smart thing to do, but nope.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's hard because like the story isn't very deep. But I mean, I they did have some cool character moments. I like Dan Stevens' character a lot because he seemed like he was kind of shady. And, you know, Melissa Barrera as Joey, she was really good in it.
It is kind of fun how quickly they dissolve like the rules. I mean, it's kind of dumb that, like, not even 5 minutes later, they're already breaking the rules they were told. But I think it's done in a way that's a little bit more... Because, like, yeah, Melissa Barrera does the dumb thing right away. But, like, later on, they forget to, like, hide their masks. And that's when things really go off the rails.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's a fun movie, and it moves quickly. Like, the violence in it is really cool.
But also, like, you know, very early on, Abigail's clearly able to, like, freely run about the house. But then she, like, murders the first guy and I guess goes back to her room. Like, why wouldn't she just, like, immediately just, like, mow through everybody?
You know, I think they kind of touched on it that she likes to have fun.
She played with the food. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of what the thing was, that she's more of a... you know, a predator from Predator or something like that.
Yeah. I guess that first guy actually died.
Yeah.
In real life.
I know. That Angus Cloud kid.
Yeah. I don't know him from anything else, but yeah.
Yeah. I think he was on Euphoria. I've never watched Euphoria.
Me neither.
I mean, I heard it's good. I have seen a lot of those people that were on Euphoria, you know, besides obviously Zendaya. She was super popular before then. Yeah. But Sydney Sweeney's kind of really taken off in these last year or so.
Yeah, people in high school, it's hard to relate to for me these days.
Yeah. So far removed from it.
Yeah. I feel too old to watch even fictional kids like be R-rated, you know?
I mean, I don't know. I still think Superbad's great.
They're our age now. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
We grew up with them.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, this is the big news story of the week.
It's real news.
I really couldn't find anything except I read this really cool article about there's a 15-minute action sequence in Furiosa that took them 78 days to film with 200 extras.
Like on location?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anya Taylor-Joy was talking about it as the hardest thing she's ever done.
Good.
See, what's hard about that stuff is you have to do it over and over and over again and, you know, try to make it fresh every time.
That's the thing. Like, Fury Road itself was just so iconic on its own. Like, those stunts, like, top Mad Max and the Road Warrior, I think, you know, I mean,
oh, yeah,
those old ones have their own, you know, like, they were able to do more with less. And obviously, Fury Road had the benefit of being able to use CGI and like a lot safer procedures. So, but visually, they're like, it's like they crush. But yeah, this one, I'm like, it's, I hope they're on location because from the trailer, everything kind of seems like it's on the volume. But I hope I'm wrong.
I don't know. I think it was on location. Maybe they just did kind of the painted stuff to give it a stylistic look. I don't know.
Yeah, like maybe they just like leaned into it more compared to, you know, 10 years ago. But also I can imagine like George Miller's like almost 80 years old and he doesn't want to travel to Australia in the heat to make like a bunch of cars crash anymore, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like it was an easy shoot, so.
Yeah, well, hopefully it pays off because I remember
it's hard because, you know, Fury Road is so cool and you have such a high expectation for it. And I don't know where my expectation should be, if that makes sense.
I remember, like, you know, Fury Road wasn't a huge blockbuster when it came out. You know, it did well, but not like Marvel money, you know? So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, the people who didn't go initially and caught it later on, you know, streaming or video turn out for the sequel in bigger numbers.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, the trailer, every time I watch it, I get excited.
Yeah.
And, you know, even I think the Planet of the Apes trailer looks incredible. The special effects in that film. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's crazy how, like, the close-ups on those apes are just like.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. They have that part where. It's he's the two apes are talking and I mean they're having some sort of like flashback and just the expressionism and the realisticness of their eyes and things is insane to me.
Like those eyes feel like actual human living eyes, and then I think of other movies like Polar Express.
Yes, it's like a horror movie how the eyes look.
Like wow, how far we come.
Yes,
The only thing is like. I don't feel like the voices are too human coming out of them. I feel like they should be like a little distorted to like a little bit of a struggle to talk. Like the apes are still like evolving, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the timeline. If I know this is the, I think it's supposed to take place after all the Caesar ape movies, but I don't know how long. Maybe it takes place pretty far in the future. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it's after that and then before the Charlton Heston one, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, right. That's another movie I'm pretty excited to see. I think the trailer is incredible. So yeah, that's all I got this week.
Well, there's also the Deadpool Wolverine trailer, but
true.
We don't have to talk about how awesome that is.
It's yeah, there's
obvious.
Actually, I saw this breakdown of it where there's a fight between Deadpool and Wolverine, and it's exactly the same as Peter Parker versus Flash Thompson from 2002 Spider-Man's, and they have a comparison, and it totally is. And there's a really funny Rob Liefeld joke in there about drawing feet.
You know,
yeah, when, that's another movie I can't wait for.
When we were watching Spider-Man 2, they had that trailer for Blade Trinity. I was like, I wonder if they're going to, you know, because Ryan Reynolds is in that. I wonder if they're going to figure out a way in this movie to like roll his Blade Trinity character into the Deadpool universe.
That'd be awesome.
Because, you know, they did it with his X-Men Origins Wade Wilson, so
yeah, hopefully that makes another appearance as well. I when I watch that trailer, they show all those shots from behind Wesley Snipes, and I know that's a stand-in because he never was on set. It's like a real thing. But yeah, cool. Yeah, no, that trailer is awesome. I like too that they're just giving you little hints and they're really not telling you what the story is. Obviously he needs Wolverine's help for him to keep his world how he wants it. I still think it's them going through the multiverse and course correcting it by having them kill everybody.
Yeah. Pruning all those branches like Loki was doing.
Yeah. It's basically, yeah, I felt the same. It's going to be the R-rated version of Loki where, you know, Loki tried to stop that, but now they're just going to kill it because it's, you know, Deadpool.
Yeah. I mean, Loki is in charge of the multiverse, so. But yeah, the TVA is in it, so there must be a connection, so.
Yeah, that'd be sweet if Loki shows up in that movie, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost feels like he has to. But yeah. Good stuff.
Cool.
We're starting to get there. I think it's like 2 weeks and it's Fall Guy, so.
Finally, the summer season's heating up.
Yes. I was reading that the box office is 20% behind where it was last year.
Sounds about right. I mean, this whole April's been kind of down, you know?
Yeah. And
yeah, they're definitely coming off that strike pretty rough.
We watch things throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what did you watch this week?
Quite a bit of stuff. I saw a movie called Sorcerer from 1977, starring Roy Scheider and directed by...
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it. I've never seen it, though.
Yeah, it's... what's his name? William Friedkin.
Yes.
Yeah, like, you would not... Based on the poster and the name, it's not obvious what it would be. I don't know if it's a great movie. It's definitely treated like one of those lost treasures, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's interesting, and it's definitely like a filmmaking challenge, and there's impressive like stunt parts, but the story was like you start out like you're introduced to these like four different characters across the globe who are kind of criminals. So like one's an assassin, he kills somebody, and then there's a bunch of like Israeli Palestinian conflict bombers who blow up a place and then go on the run, and then Roy Scheider's like part of the mob, and he steals from a church and then crashes a car and then goes on, you know, goes on the lam. And then there's a French guy who's like embezzling some stuff. And his partner or brother, I think, killed himself to get escape. And so now he's got no protection. So they all escaped to South America, I think it was. And they all kind of converge in this little town. And then the town is like, the economy is that there's like an oil field, and so they're like just shipping oil. But then like the well explodes and burns up. And so they have to close it by blowing it up again, I guess. Also blowing it up. But the nitroglycerin is in a shed 218 miles away. So the oil guys enlist, like, hey, we'll pay you guys, and whoever can load up these trucks and get it and drive it over to the well site, we'll pay like a huge, like, I don't know, like, I think it was like $20,000 each or something, to make it, you know. And they're in the jungle and there's like no good roads, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the challenge, is like these wanted criminals, you know, do like a driver's ed class, and they turn out to be the four best for the job. And yeah, they have to safely take this nitroglycerin, which has like dissolved, like it's not in the explosives anymore. It's like congealed at the bottom of the crates. So like the slightest bump can, you know, explode them. So yeah, it's all about reinforcing. And so there's a truck called Lazarus and there's a truck called Sorcerer.
Not Roy Scheider just being a sorcerer.
That's what you'd think from the poster and the title. Yeah. Like I was in for like mystic wizards and things, and nope, it's just a bunch of wanted criminals trying to transport some nitroglycerin. But like the big set piece is that like there's this, you know, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom style rope bridge across a giant river, and they have to like move these enormous, you know, rigs across, like basically like the war rig from Fury Road, across this bridge that has like a bunch of planks missing, and it's raining and the wind's blowing and there's a river underneath. And apparently those guys did it for real. Like Roy Scheider is the stunt guy in the truck crossing this bridge. You know, his partner is out in front, like signaling like, hey, you know, left, right, pull forward and stuff. And like, they're getting drenched, and you can see like the whole rig on this rope bridge, just like, it's like 45 degrees at one point. And you're like, how does it not just fall right into the river? So obviously like they had cable ties and things. So it's, and the bridge is actually steel, but they've dressed it up like a rope bridge, but it's still like super dangerous. But you see them actually in it doing it, and it's pretty nuts.
Nice.
So yeah, it's like, yeah, like I couldn't really like get into the characters, but, it's like, as far as like a filmmaking enterprise, it just like the feat of doing it is pretty impressive.
Nice.
And what else did I watch? Got to watch Clerks in the theater again. That movie's great. Obviously Mallrats, Feast Party was fun. Are we going to do Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare as a main movie?
I don't know. I mean, can.
I'll save it for next week just in case.
Okay.
And then I rewatched Super Troopers because I was like the late night at the Esquire, a movie I haven't seen in like 20 years.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, it felt like I'd never seen it before. Like I'd forgotten most of it. didn't remember where it was going. It's kind of funny, I guess. Not like a laugh riot, but yeah, it was weird to revisit it and feel like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen this movie twice before, but I have no idea what's happening or where this is going, what the story is or what the gags are. Yeah, and then the last thing I've been watching is a Roku channel has an SNL vault channel where it's like 24/7 just sketches from SNL from like Sweet. The entire 50-year run. And so it's a great background. Like it does repeat a lot of stuff. But like there'll be a stretch of like, oh, I've seen like this stretch of shorts earlier in the day. And then suddenly like it'll switch to like, oh, you know, here's a bunch of new stuff. And then it'll go back to like, you know, another repeat of things and then like a new stretch of things. And if you want to check it out and like see like a lot of fun stuff that you may have missed over 50 years. Because there's a lot of stuff that, like, when I did that Peacock rewatch of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was, like, episodes that were only, like, 20 minutes long because they cut stuff out. And I feel like this has the missing pieces because they're all just, like, they're not full episodes. They're just, like, sketch after sketch. And there's no – sometimes there will be, like, a theme. Like, they'll have a bunch of Christmas episodes kind of together or, like, a certain actor. But, yeah, it's a good channel to, like, just kind of, like, throw on the background and – watch. So
Yeah, so I do that. Samsung has a Conan O'Brien channel where it just takes his stuff. It's really just from his TBS days, but it's still really fun because it's, you know, you forget about all those little skits they would do or random goofy crap. And it's a fun channel. It's always on. Samsung TVs have their own like channel where it's connected to the internet. It has like movie channels. There's a Conan O'Brien channel. It's all free with your Samsung, so it's cool.
Yeah, it's like, you know, throwing on YouTube and just letting it autoplay.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Without all the freaking ads.
Yeah.
And I guess the last thing I watched was The Deer Hunter. I just came from that. I never seen it before.
No.
It's super long.
I haven't seen it in years, so it'd be like when you watch Super Troopers, I probably won't remember anything from it.
Yeah, Robert De Niro, he and his buddies live in are steelworkers in a Pennsylvania town that are enjoy like God the church the opening church scene their wedding scene their buddies getting married. I was like, oh my God, is this the whole movie? Like, it was so long, it felt like an hour of the movie. But yeah, after they get drafted and shipped off to Vietnam, you know, they do the Russian roulette scene. And De Niro, you know, rescues everybody. And then, you know, they try to get rescued and they all kind of get separated. And eventually he comes home and you just kind of watch the aftermath of like him trying to track down his friends and, you know, reintegrate into society. And yeah, it's pretty like powerful, but it is really... I felt really slow in a lot of places, like, and I wasn't sure like what it was doing a lot of the time. It's like,
yeah,
I feel like we could speed this up. Like I feel like I know what's going on. Yeah. So it's just, but you know, it's the late '70s and it's like one of those auteur movies and, they just did whatever they wanted and it's their art. So, yeah, obviously the best parts are, you know, the Russian roulette, like those are the, like the tense scenes and, I don't want to spoil the finale, but, there's a lot of them. a lot of Russian roulette scenes. It was fun to watch, like all the people in the audience, like gasping on each click. It's like, you're
well,
all like,
it worked.
Like a lot of you are like 60 or 70. I'm pretty sure you know what's going to happen, but yeah. Anyway, what'd you watch?
I've been playing video games, so I'm not watching tons. I got this new, so we talked about doing the Kino Lorber, like, you know, just sales thing and getting $5.99 Blu-rays. So, one I got is Code of Silence with Chuck Norris. So the tagline is he's a good cop having a bad day. And he's this detective who, is fighting corruption in his own police department while he's trying to take down this mob boss.
Serpico, also, got it.
Yeah. And so they're also integrating this, it's like the RoboCop, what's the name of the, I'm drawing a blank, but it's the thing that has the machine guns on the side of it. It's the other robot.
Oh, ED-209?
Yeah, thank you. They have that kind of thing, but it's a tank, and it's controlled with remote control, and Chuck Norris thinks it takes all the person, like, all the people out of police work. But in an ironic twist, he uses it at the end when no one will back him up because he won't sign off on... So there's this... him trying to fight these mob people. And then there's also this, one of his, so he's a sergeant, and then one of his, I guess, subordinates kills a kid in the hallway and plants a gun on him, and Chuck Norris won't give him his, like, his badge back, but everybody else in the police department's covering for him. But Chuck Norris won't because he's, you know, he has integrity, and that's where Code of Silence comes from.
I was gonna say, he doesn't believe in a Code of Silence.
Exactly. And then there's a rookie, and the rookie has an opportunity to do the right thing, and he doesn't. until the very end when no one will. So Chuck Norris goes by himself with all these drug dealers and these weapon dealers after they kidnap this one girl, after they like kill her whole family in front of her. And he's the only one who goes to like rescue her. So he's, and then the other guys are ignoring his radio calls for backup until the one rookie who had the opportunity to do the right thing finally does. And he goes to help him, but he only shows up after Chuck Norris kills everybody. So
it's not. Got off light. It's like, this isn't, it's easy to switch sides.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a cheesy 80s action movie. It's not one of Chuck Norris's best, but it's still kind of fun. And, you know, it's not that great, but it's an 80s action movie way. I mean, I had fun watching it, but, you know, $5.99 is a good price for it. But the cool thing is it has tons of special features on it, so that's good too. And the only other thing I watched is this horror movie called Unwelcome. It's, do you remember, man, 2012, we were at Telluride Horror Show and there was that movie called Grabbers that the people that made the battery were pissed because their like media people made them do an interview with us.
I didn't get to see it, but yeah.
Well, I didn't see it either, but the guys who made that made this movie called Unwelcome. It's an Irish horror film about these red cap goblins that you have to give them a blood sacrifice every night. And if you don't, you have to, or you can offer them something and they'll help you. And it takes a little bit to get going. I mean, the monsters really don't show up till the last like 30, 40 minutes of the movie. But it has this kind of cool fairy tale vibe to it. The story is this couple is attacked at their home in London, and when their aunt dies, she leaves them their home in Ireland. And when they go there, you know what the lady forgets to do the first night, Brad? You'll never know. She did not leave out the blood offering, which is like a piece of liver, for the red caps.
Amateur. So,
I know. But she eventually does. And they, yeah, then there's trouble afoot in the neighborhood, and she's attacked by these certain people, and she asks the goblins for help. And then it gets really violent and really cool. So, like, it's not like a great movie, but when it gets going, it's really fun. And the practical effects are really cool. They tried really hard. There's this really short making of on the Blu-ray where they talk about they try to avoid CGI, so they use a lot of forced perspective with the goblins. And you can tell a little bit, but I mean, it's still cool that they use, you know, practical effects and try to use camera tricks instead of CGI. And yeah, it's violent and cool and just kind of a cool movie that I got at Twist and Shout for $5.99. Or maybe it's only $4.99. I don't know. It's in like their clearance Blu-ray use section. And I was only there because I was pissed because I went to Record Store Day, which was on 420. So
that'd been awesome.
I had to get through Civic Center Park, which was awful. And the only reason I wanted to go there is because there was a limited edition Faces album that I got. The last one that there was a Record Store Day, like in November, I think it is. It's Black Friday, and I went the next day, and it was still there. Today, you know, 420 day, I got there at 4:30 p.m., maybe 5, and they were completely sold out. So, it's bummed.
That's lame.
I know. And if you called them, they weren't going to hold it. They had it on their website that they're not going to hold any of the records. So,
yeah, this Record Store Days are just like insane. I don't, unless I find it later, I don't bother with it.
Yeah, I mean, the store was like kind of busy, but it wasn't super busy because obviously everyone was already there.
Yeah, you should have been there at 4:20.
Yeah, I know. And I was hoping that, I mean, I love Rod Stewart, but I was hoping because the last time I was able to get it the next day, that if I was a few hours late, that it wouldn't matter. But when I went on the record store website afterwards, there's only 3,000 worldwide. So, I mean, how many did Twist and Shout get? Maybe three.
How much were they selling him for?
It's like 32.
Well, if you want to pay twice that much, you can get it on eBay right now.
Oh, yeah. Is it 64?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, that's all I watched this week.
Also watched Spider-Man 2.
Oh, well, yeah, we did. We did see Spider-Man 2 in the theater. 35mm.
Obviously 35mm. Holy shit.
Yeah, the dude really, whoever's a projectionist, really struggled with it.
Yeah.
But it was still fun. I like the trailers they showed at the beginning. You mentioned Blade Trinity. They also showed Christmas with the Cranks.
Yeah, which I forgot. I was like, I guess those would be attached like to the film.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a separate thing. So, yeah, whatever reel that was. Yeah, I had those. There's the third one, wasn't there?
There was. I don't remember what it was, though.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was interesting. But, so, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say Spider-Man 2 is still one of the greatest superhero movies ever, so.
Yeah.
Like, it's really... I keep interrupting you, but it's really fun revisiting them in the theater.
Yeah, like I just remember those two movies being so epic, like when I first watched them, and now they just seem kind of quaint.
Yeah,
you know, just Marvel, Infinity War and Endgame of just like, you know, it's not like these are bad. They're just like the stakes and everything just seems so epic. Those two movies came out, and now they're just like. I was like, Doc Ock is barely in this movie. Like, there's so many scenes of Peter struggling with his powers and struggling with Mary Jane. And even Harry Osborn is barely in it.
Yeah, but, you know, Alfred Molina, though, is great as Doc Ock. He's a really good comic book villain.
Yeah.
In the movie. Because you really like him at the beginning.
He's an anti-hero. He's like... obviously totally a guy, but it's just those like velociraptor arms take over his brain. That's it.
True. And you know, his wife dies and.
Yeah. Sends him over the edge, but yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. I just love those movies, and I always love revisiting them. Cause you know, Sam Raimi's my favorite filmmaker, and he always has little Sam Raimi moments in it where it's, you know, when Pete comes out of the broom closet with the pizzas. It's great stuff.
And raindrops falling on my head thing is so like, oh, that's, they did that in Spider-Man 3, you know, like, why do people hate that thing from Spider-Man 3 so much when it's a very similar vibe from this one? But yeah.
I agree. So yeah.
What do you see next week?
I haven't figured out the movie next week, but when I do, I'll post it.
Cool.
Until then. We'll see you at the movies. A real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot and a real nerd. Will give out all the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!